Amen. Let's look in Luke chapter 17, Luke 17. While you're opening your Bibles there, just a reminder, ladies, if you're going with prayer advance, you're interested in going, please get signed up. We do need to make an initial registration tomorrow, and so we need to know if you're going or not. Also, the Christmas house tour is coming up on December 2nd. My wife and I are going to be having homemade hot chocolate and homemade ice cream. Amen. So we want to encourage you to sign up for that and come on out. And the charge is only $52.95. Amen. Now we're just having a fun time together. Also, remember next Sunday is our anniversary of our church. Be sure to invite people out to the church. It'll be an exciting time celebrating 36 years of ministry. We are going to have baptisms on that day. So if you've been saved and have not been baptized, that'll be a great time for you to get that taken care of. We'll be doing baptisms in the 8:30 and also in the 11 o'clock service. And so we want you to follow the Lord in a step of obedience through believer's baptism. Amen. Luke chapter 17 and verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. Whereas the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and the one taken, and the other left. And they answered and said to him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be in church this evening. We're blessed, Lord, to be able to hear the word of God preached and to be able to have Christian fellowship together, enjoy songs that exalt and lift up the name of our Savior. And God, we are blessed now to be able to allow the Spirit of God to teach us and move us through the Holy Scriptures. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, that they might realize how close salvation is and how necessary it is to respond immediately to the invitation of God. But also, Lord, may we as believers realize the life that we have is to be surrendered completely and totally to you and allow you, Lord, to use us in a great way to warn others of the coming of the end of time. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts in a special way tonight as we study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And we're just going to be building a message around that concept of remembering Lot's wife. Whenever God tells us something, need to take heed to what he has said. We certainly, as you read through this chapter, is Jesus is teaching his disciples and those around that about the end times and what to expect when the end times will come. We're living, I really believe, in days of Bible prophecy that is being examined and literally being fulfilled more and more every day. You can't help but look at the condition of the world. you can't help but look at what is going on as far as religion and as far as governments and finances and everything else that's going on and not see, with if you don't look with a clear eye, you don't not be able to see that what God has so prophesied that was going to take place is taking place every day in our life. But yet it just seems like there's such a lackadaisical type of spirit among Christians, and certainly the world is totally disconnected and not concerned whatsoever about what the Bible says the end time will be. Many are trying to speculate when Jesus will return, but the reality is no man knoweth the hour, the day or the hour when Jesus Christ comes. And the thing is that we do know is that he has said that he would come very quickly. Amen. There's some light shed on this matter in the text where we read. Notice that you need to watch out for those who make predictions. You know, in verse 22, it says, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it, and they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them." I've seen a lot of people in the last 30 some years that I've been saved that have made prophetic predictions about the return of Christ, and none of them come true yet. And so when people start setting dates and time and days and all this, that, and the other, that is evidence that you need to run away from them as quickly as possible, because God has not given us the opportunity to be able to know the day or the hour that Jesus Christ will come. They are false prophets and false teachers that need to be exposed in reference to their heresy. So we can watch out for those who make predictions. We can understand in this passage, according to verse 24, that Jesus will come suddenly. It says, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven and shineth on the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." In other words, you can look at the summer sky when you have a thunderstorm come through and you see that lightning flash across the skies. Literally, Jesus is saying that type of spirit and contemplation is how quickly the Son of Man will come. It will be as a lightning flashing across the sky. So we know that he's going to come suddenly upon us. You know, amazing thing is you can watch the storms and you can see what is going on, but you can't predict when that lightning is going to flash across the skies. But when it flashes, it does it very quickly and suddenly, and that's how the Son of Man is going to return. We know also that his coming will be unexpected. According to verse 25, "But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation." And then he says in verse 26, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." It is alarming to see how consumed people are with their daily type of living. You know, I got to go to work. I got to make my money. I've got to buy my cars. I got to have more houses. I've got to be able to prepare for retirement. I've got to have all these things in place. And matter of fact, no matter how much I have, I need to get some more. I need to be pressing for more. And you say, well, wait a minute. The Word of God says Jesus Christ is coming again. Yes, I know we've heard that, but I need to be busy about the things that I'm doing in my life. Well, that's how it was when the flood came, when Noah had built an ark to the saving of his household. They were busy, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, giving in marriage. They were doing everything exceedingly wicked in the mind and the heart of God. And all of a sudden the floods came and they were all drowned, except for Noah and his family. And literally when Lot was warned of the judgment and the wrath of God that was going to fall and be rained out on Sodom and Gomorrah, literally when Lot left, that God's judgment, fire and brimstone, fell on those wicked cities. And Jesus is saying this, you need to realize that the way that they were left behind and they were not expecting the wrath of God to come. That's the way it's going to be when the Son of God comes. There's going to be an awful lot of people caught off guard. There's going to be a lot of Christians caught off guard. And we just think we can just go on and live our lives in the world that we live in and be totally disconnected with the reality of the return of Christ. There'll be those that will be taken and those that will be left behind. That's what it says in verse 34 through 37. I tell you that in the night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, the other be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and the one shall be taken and the other left. I thought as I was reading that, that's pretty good. The men are sleeping, the women are working. Amen. Well, that's a sidebar. That's not part of the message. Amen. I'll get off of that quick before I get in trouble. But it says in verse 36, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And I know this, when Jesus Christ comes again, I know the Christian is going to be raptured and taken out of this world. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. There's going to be a multitude of people that are going to be standing around shocked and dumbfounded, wondering where everybody went. But the reality is, Jesus is coming again, and he is going to take us to glory. And yes, there are going to be multitudes of people that are going to be left behind when he does come. The sad thing is, those that have heard the gospel and have not received Christ as their Savior, they will be damned to hell for eternity. It is very clear that God does not give the opportunity for those who heard the gospel to be saved in the tribulation period, because they did not receive the grace of God. They did not receive the truth of God, and they rejected the opportunity to be saved. And because they reject that, God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so they'll be damned for eternity. The amazing thing is, there's multitudes, I mean multitudes of millions of people in the world who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. They have never heard the way of salvation through faith in Christ and Christ alone. And during the tribulation period, those multitudes will be preached the gospel, and the Messiah will be revealed to them, and they'll believe on Christ. They will suffer greatly for their faith in Christ, but they will be delivered because of the fact they will trust in the sacrifice that Christ had offered for them. And so there's going to be one taken and one's going to be left behind. And so this matter, those being left and those being taken when Jesus comes again. But right in the middle of all this exposition about what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ comes again, he states in verse 32, just a little sentence, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Because she experienced the tragedy of not being ready to respond when God so commanded to leave when judgment was coming. Remember Lot's wife. Memory is a precious thing. And oftentimes, I get preaching, and all of a sudden I go to quote a verse, and halfway through it's gone. You know, it just flies away. And you got to capture the thing before it runs away from you. Memory is a precious thing. There are those that for traumatic experiences or medical reasons may not be able to comprehend and keep their memories. And yet there are those who have been through situations who literally choose not to remember things. But memory is a precious thing. And God is saying, this is something that you need to remember. And what you need to remember is Lot's wife. Because Lot's wife depicts for us and helps us to see and understand what God prophetically stated would take place in the future she experienced in her life. That all of a sudden judgment is come. The warning of judgment was there, but yet all of a sudden it is now upon them. And because of the fact that she did not respond and leave as her husband was leading and as the warning of the angels of God had given them, but rather turned back and looked back onto the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, she experienced the wrath and the judgment of God coming on her. And God wants us to understand that, wait a minute, the things as he said prophetically are going to come to pass, and people will experience the judgment of God Almighty on them when they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is coming again. So remember Lot's wife. Let's look at a couple things here in Genesis chapter 19 in verse 15. Genesis 19 records for us the experience of Lot coming out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, back earlier in the book of Genesis, Abraham and Lot had to make a decision on where they were going to dwell. And Lot looked down on the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw the cities, that they were well-watered, and he desired to be there, even though he knew they were wicked cities. They were consumed with every kind of sinful lifestyle that you can imagine, but Lot never thought that that would influence his family. And listen, Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah got into Lot's family. And you take your life and you take your children and you go into the things of the world, don't say for one moment that it's not going to affect you. Don't say for one moment that your kids can handle it. I always get tickled. People say, well, I want my kids in the public school because they can be a witness in the public school. I don't see kids in the public school bringing multitudes of people to Christ. I don't see them bringing people out to church. We put them in the public schools, and then our children are corrupted by the philosophy and the teachings that are in the public schools. We need to get back to the reality that we need to teach our children the things that are of Christianity, and they need to learn why they believe what they believe, and they need to walk with God because there is a judgment day coming. And all we do is expose them to all these wicked things, and then we wonder why they go astray. And so literally, Lot made a decision to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah without any thought whatsoever of how it was going to affect his family. But Lot lost it all. He lost all of it. He lost his daughters. He lost his wife. And literally two wicked people, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were descendants of Lot's relationship with his two daughters. And they were a thorn in the flesh of Israel and an enemy of Israel. To even this day in 2016, they are an enemy of Israel. And listen, you may not take in any thought or any concern of the consequences of going into the ways of the world, but I'll guarantee you, you cannot escape the consequences. Notice in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 15. Genesis 19, 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Notice, first of all, that God, in dealing with Lot's wife, God tried to redeem her. And here is the angels of the Lord coming to Lot and challenging him and encouraging him and warning him that it is time to get out of these cities, because of the fact your family is going to be consumed with the iniquity that are in these cities. And so God tries to redeem her. First of all, God's redemption plan is the same for each and every individual. Lot's redemption is going to be experienced by leaving the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife and his children's lives are going to be redeemed by leaving the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. No man has the ability to redeem himself. God is the one who has to do a work in the heart and the life of every individual. And God was just as concerned for Lot as he was for his wife and to his two children. And yet here is this woman refusing the redemption of God. This matter of redemption is demonstrated through prophecy. In Genesis 3:15, God told us that there would be the one who would come and bruise the head of Satan. That prophecy is ultimately and fulfilled in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also demonstrated through typology in the Old Testament that God would direct Abraham to take his son, his only son, and offer him as a sacrifice, but God would provide a lamb to be slain. And it shows us a depiction or a typology of God slaying his own son on the cross of Calvary for one reason, and that was to redeem our souls.
And Jesus personally demonstrated that when John saw him coming to be baptized, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I want you to know that God desired to remove Lot's wife and his daughters and Lot out of the iniquity that was in the cities. And God desires to take us out of the iniquity that is in this world. He saves us. He redeems us. He buys us with his own blood. And he tells us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be sons and daughters unto me. God, listen, God is dealing with us in reference to redemption that comes through faith in who Jesus Christ is and what he offered for us. These angels of God come to Lot to offer him an opportunity to come out from the iniquity of the cities. Oh, that we might realize that God wants to redeem us, but that redemption takes us out of iniquity and brings us into the holiness and the righteousness of Christ. God's redemption plan is the same for each period of time. I don't remember what I put on the slides. I have to look around. Look, that one back there is not working. And so I got to make sure I keep up with these guys. Amen. You always can tell when the service is getting towards the end because they start putting them up faster, so I have to talk fast. God's redemption plan is the same for each individual, but God's redemption plan is the same for each time period. People didn't get saved differently in the Old Testament than we do in the New Testament. And may I say, people aren't going to get saved differently in the millennial reign of Christ. In the Old Testament, it required a lamb to be slain. It required blood to be shed. And God's plan was that the blood would become an atonement for the sins of the people. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross in the New Testament, it fulfilled God's plan. And ultimately, it was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So each and every time period in history, people have to be saved and redeemed by the same way. God doesn't change his plan because it's 2016. People say, well, you know, things have changed, times have changed. Yes, but God hasn't changed. And so redemption comes through the same time period, the same way. And yea, when the millennial reign, when Christ has brought the tribulation and he has battled the armies of this world and he establishes his kingdom as he sits on the throne of David, I'm going to tell you, every one of them that are left on this earth are going to have to come to Jesus Christ and bend their knee and confess that he is Lord and receive him as their personal Savior. There's no different plan of salvation. And so we're looking at a day and time where we are rapidly approaching the return of Jesus Christ, then we need to get busy about this matter of redemption.
Amen. That's right.
We need to remember Lot's wife because she didn't take it serious about the redemption of God. We need to remember Lot's wife because God's offering her an opportunity to be delivered out of the iniquity of the city, and she refuses it and rejects it, and she is lost because of it. So remember Lot's wife. God tried to redeem her. Need to remember Lot's wife because God protected her from her lingering. Notice in verse 16 of Genesis 19, and while he lingered, the men had laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. You know, the interesting thing is, if God was telling me that this is the wrath that's coming down on this city because it's full of iniquity and you need to leave this place, I wouldn't need God to have to grab my hand and drag me out.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing, I'd be the sprinter. Amen. I'll tell you, it would be hard to keep up with me. And then you see this fat boy just trucking on out of that place, amen? I wouldn't be sitting around and say, well, I don't know, maybe there's something else I need to do. No, I'm not worried about my stuff. I'm not worried about what this world has to offer. This world is not my home. I'm passing through. If God's telling me the wrath is ready to come, fire and brimstone are sitting at the precipice waiting for the gates of heaven to open. This old boy be trucking. But no. God in his mercy takes them by the hand and he's bringing them out of the city. What is that? That's God's protection even when we linger. You know, God is merciful to us when we refuse to respond to what he tells us to do. I'll tell you, God's mercy and God's grace is so powerful because we know very plainly and clearly what the expectation God has for us, and yet we don't do it, and he leads us by the hand. The mercy, you know, many people put off coming to Christ because of the fact that they think they're okay. They think they can. They're going to live another day. They think, well, yeah, I know about that Bible prophecy, but it hasn't come in 2,000 years, so I'm okay. We can wait. We can put it off. I remember one person I was talking to, and they said this to me. They said, yeah, I've heard all about that Bible prophecy stuff. He said, I already know all about that. He said, if I start to die, I'll call on the Lord. I said, well, how do you know you're going to have time to call on the Lord? Well, I know about that Bible prophecy. You know, if the rapture takes place, when everybody's gone, I'll realize that they're gone. I'll know all about it. Then I'll trust Christ as my Savior. I said, no, you won't, because God will set a delusion and you'll believe the lie. If you don't think people won't believe the lie, you look at what people are sold, a bill of goods. You look at what people are told and people accept it. I mean, they'll embrace criminals. They'll do all kinds of things. And on the guise that they believe what they're being told. You say, I don't believe a one world government can come about. I don't believe that people will succumb to a one world religion. I'm telling you right now, it's happening right before our eyes. But yet God is being merciful and literally providing protection for us in the midst of our staggering and our lingering rather than our pressing and moving ahead for God. You say, well, it's God's hand that protects us. You say, how do I know that? He's the one that keeps us alive. You would not have breath in your lungs if God did not give your body the ability for your lungs to expand and contract and bring lung air in. I remember talking to this fellow had lung problems, and he had asthma real bad. He had some other issues. He was in the hospital, and I never seen anything like this. I was in there talking to him, trying to lead him to the Lord. He didn't get saved. I don't know whether he ever did or not, but I watched that man sit there, and I mean every breath was a workout. He literally would go, and that's how he sat in that hospital bed. The oxygen on him and all, everything else. And I told him, I said, you know, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. God loves you. And he said, he just could not bring himself to a point of saying, yes, I'm going to receive Christ as my Savior. And the problem is this, he was not realizing that God's mercy and protection was being extended to him, that God brought somebody with the gospel to sit down and talk with him when he could not even hardly breathe. You're alive because of God's protection. Amen. You're alive because it's God who keeps us from his wrath. That's right. God has not appointed us to wrath. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to face the wrath of God. I'm thankful that all my sin has been judged at Calvary. Amen. And when I stand before God, the thing he's going to judge me about is my rewards or loss of rewards in heaven. Yes, and so I don't have to worry about his wrath falling on me. Amen. He keeps the world, keeps this world in existence. And we know this, if it wasn't for God keeping our planet, Earth, in the exact orbit that it needs to be in, we would be gone. You understand if the gravity in the earth changed just a minute degree, we'd be flying off the earth. If the orbit of the earth went out of just one degree, we'd be burned up in the sun. You know, you understand that if it was not for God's strength and God's protection and God's power in overseeing this universe in which we live, we'd be gone. There would be no existence. There would be no life. And so here is Lot's wife. God has reached out and has taken her by the hand and is leading her out of the city. And so God's protection because he's even protecting her in her lingering. The fact that you're here tonight is evidence that God is protecting you. And the reality is we ought to thank God every time we get up in the morning, we go somewhere, we do something, whatever it is, we ought to thank God for his hand of protection on us as we live in this wicked city, wicked world that is consumed with iniquity. God not only tried to redeem her, God protected her in her lingering. I see another thing in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 17, that God gave her the opportunity to demonstrate her faith. Notice in verse 17, it says, "And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." I don't know how much clearer you can be than that. He gave her an opportunity to demonstrate her faith. He brought them, the angel brought them out of the city. And as he brought them out of the city, now the angel says, okay, you need to run for your life. You need to escape for your life. Don't look back. Don't be connected. Don't be concerned about what's going on in back of you. Need to have faith to believe that when God said wrath is coming, the wrath is coming, and you just need to follow the leadership of God, and you need to get out and stay in thou in the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. The wrath of God is getting ready to be released, and here is your opportunity to show that you believe. See, God just required simple faith. She just had to believe. You know, Jesus Christ is the light that came into this world. John said that in John chapter 1, that he is the light that was revealed. Jesus would remind us in John chapter 2 and verse 22 that it's through the scriptures that we understand who he is. The only thing that we can comprehend about God and about judgment and about prophecy is based on what the Word of God has to say. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And certainly Jesus is the fulfillment of what needs to be, the one who needs to be believed in. You know, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas was in prison, the jailer thought that all the prisoners had escaped, and Paul and Silas would confront him about that. He said, "We're all here." And he would come in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And their response was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house." See, just simple faith is exercised by believing that Christ is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the one that will deliver us. Listen, Lot's wife did not have much to do. God gave her everything, provided every opportunity. He brought her out of the city. She was removed from any conflict of interest, if you will. All she had to do is keep her eyes on the Lord and walk with the angels that God had directed them, and escape to the mountain so that they would not be consumed. The sad thing is she would not even exercise a simple faith how she believed in the Lord. James chapter 2, we see God expects actions in response to that faith that we have. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." See, she could receive the word, she could listen to the word, but she had to be a doer of the word, or else it wasn't going to make a difference in her life. James chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." She could say, "I believe and I trust and I'm going to walk with God," but she had to do something to demonstrate that. She had to escape to the mountains. Notice in James chapter 2 and verse 21 says, "And was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." See, works goes along hand in hand with faith. And God gave her an opportunity to demonstrate that she had real faith in the God who was directing Lot and his family to leave the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But when the opportunity came for her to demonstrate she had faith, she turned her back,
looked away and showed you she didn't have real faith at all. You know, the amazing thing is this. When push comes to shove, when it comes time to have to show and demonstrate that you have faith, that's when you find out who the real Christians are. I remember years ago, I read a story of missionaries who were on the mission field, and I even forget what country they were in. There were all kinds of communistic guerrillas in the country, and Christians were being persecuted, being executed, and they were having a church service one night, and these soldiers came busting into the church. And they came in with their machine guns and everything else, and they came in and they said, all right, you're not supposed to be having church in this area. You know, the government, the law does not allow Christian churches to exist, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're not a Christian, you can leave right now, and we will not harm you. But if you're not a Christian, get up and leave, because we are going to kill all the Christians that are here. And about half of the church got up and left the building and walked out of the building, and after they walked out of the building, the soldiers put their guns down and said, now we know who the real Christians are, and we've come to worship with you. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. God gives us opportunities to demonstrate our faith. And this woman, Lot's wife, had an opportunity to demonstrate she had sincere faith, but she didn't have it, did she? Because she turned and looked back. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Notice that God rained judgment because of her divided heart. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. What a shame. It must have broke the heart of Lot as he saw the outcome of the wrath and judgment of God to fall on his wife. It must have been a heartache to him as later on he would have to deal with the situation with his daughters and the relationship he had with them and the problems that it created and literally developing two nations that were against Israel for the rest of their days. But God's judgment came down because of her divided heart. May I say this? Just because you think God's unjust, or just because you think that God is all love, and just because you think that, well, wait a minute, God certainly is not going to send people to hell, does not take God to a place where he will not be faithful and true and just to what he had said. And he said he was bringing wrath and he was bringing judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and God brought that wrath and judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But his wife looked back. What was the problem? She was unstable in every aspect of life. And may I say, when you become unstable in every aspect of life, you're a double-minded man. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. There has to be a decided decision about who Christ is. The unsaved will not get saved because they're undecided. They have always trusted their church. Or they've always trusted trying being good. Or they're always trusting in the fact that, wait a minute, God is always the same with everybody. And certainly God is a God of love and he's not going to send somebody to hell. There was someone this morning was talking to me just briefly when they came in and talking about some church or wherever they were from or whatever. And they were like, well, it doesn't matter. We all worship the same God. And I didn't say anything. I was nice. And I felt like saying, no, that's not true, and stop saying that. But people who claim that we're Christians, why do we feel compelled to say that, oh, well, we all worship the same God? In reality, we don't worship the same God. You cannot be divided in your heart and expect the blessings of God to come. Because a man who is double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. Many times saved will not completely surrender to Christ because we're concerned about what about my friends? What about my friends? I tell kids in high school all the time, you know, everything about teenagers in high school is about friends. You know, these are my friends. And they're so worried about what their friends think. And I always tell them this, you realize when you get your diploma, when you graduate from high school, you're not going to see any of them anymore. They'll be gone. You'll go your way. They'll go their way. They'll go get their job. They'll marry this person. They'll go to this college. You'll never see them again. Why are you worried about what people think about you that you're not going to be with for the rest of your life? Right. crying out loud.
Well, what about my friends? Oh man, if I really get on fire for God, what is my family going to think?
I don't know. They're going to think you're a nut. That's what they're going to think.
You know, well, what do you think other Christians might get really fired up? Well, they'll think you're radical. That's all right. We need some radical Christianity once in a while. Amen? You know, sometimes we just become the frozen chosen rather than the living fire. We want fire. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything to rhyme with it. Amen. But but we're so worried about everything. It causes us to be divided in our heart. And here is Lot's wife. She's concerned about the city. She's concerned about her friends back there. She's concerned about whether truly is God going to bring wrath on this earth. And she is so concerned about it that she literally has to turn and look back. And God is saying, look unto me.
Amen.
Christian, God's not telling you to look back at your old life. He's not telling you to look to the world.
Amen.
He's telling you to look unto me.
Amen.
All ye that labor and are heavy laden, cast your burden on him. Why? Because the world won't carry it.
Amen.
But Jesus Christ will.
Right. Yes, sir.
So she was unstable in every aspect of life. And she just simply needed to make a decision. And Christian, it just comes down to that of making a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Though none go with me, that's okay. I've decided to follow Jesus.
Yes, sir.
In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you what, Paul was not divided in his heart.
That's right.
Paul had made a decision that he was going to follow Jesus Christ no matter what it cost him. And the problem with Lot's wife was when he was being led out of Sodom and Gomorrah, she had become so consumed with Sodom and Gomorrah that she could not let go of it. And so as she's being brought out, she has to turn back and look at what God said, don't look at, because fire and brimstone is falling on it. And she looked and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now God's wrath and God's judgment is going to come on this world. I don't have to worry about being able to see it.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I don't want to see it. Because it'll rip my heart out.
That's true.
I really believe with all my heart when Revelation 5 says that God shall wipe away all tears, I think one of the reasons is because of the fact that we are going to be aware of, to a limited degree, of the wrath and the judgment coming on this earth. And I'm going to tell you, it won't be heaven with memories like that. God's going to have to do a miracle and wipe away all of our tears. When you see family members and loved ones and friends be cast into hell, I'm going to tell you, there's no joy in heaven over that. There is not this morbid sense that when I get to heaven, boy, that's going to be exciting and I'm going to be rejoicing because I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be able to look down and see all those people judged and thrown into hell. That's not glory. The glory of heaven is we shall behold him and we'll gaze on him. And his holiness and his brightness of his glory is what we'll enjoy. And that is what will give us peace. And that will give us assurance and give us happiness through all eternity. And so God will have to wipe away all tears because of our knowledge of the wrath of God coming. I'm going to tell you, I'll guarantee you, it broke the heart of Lot when his wife turned to a pillar of salt. I know that because the Bible doesn't say about him drinking anything. Until that happened, he got drunk. I'm going to tell you, you look at the world enough and you see the heartache enough, you don't keep your eyes on the Lord enough, I'll tell you, you'd be amazed what you'll start to do. And so we need to remember Lot's wife, not just because of the wrath that fell upon her, but somewhere there was a breakdown with Lot's relationship with his wife, to lead them in the things, in the paths of righteousness. The family was dysfunctional.
their faith was superficial, and they suffered greatly because of it. Jesus said, I want you to know I'm coming again. And when I come, my wrath is coming with me. Judgment will be swift. It'll be immediate. It'll be severe. And here's how I want you to remember what it's going to be like. I want you to remember Lot's wife. Because what she experienced in neglecting to turn her back on Sodom and Gomorrah is what this world is going to experience because of turning their back on Jesus Christ. And fire and brimstone is going to come from heaven. As a matter of fact, Revelation says it's going to be added to it. It's going to be mingled with blood. It's not a happy thing. It's not an exciting thing. We can rejoice in the fact that that's not going to be us. We'll be in the presence of God. But because of the effects of the cities of iniquity, I need to do all that I can to bring people out of that iniquity so that they don't experience that. Remember Lot's wife. Let's pray. Father, we are so moved when we consider the experience that Lot went through with his wife being disconnected from their God. Lord, how his heart must have ached and mourned when he realized his negligence had brought his family to a place of being consumed with the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to forget what took place. Help us to always remember Lot's wife. Because there's family members that we love, Lord, we need to lead to Christ. There's friends of ours, Lord, that are consumed with iniquity that need the redemption of God. And yea, Lord, beyond that is the reality of Jesus Christ's quick return, where wrath will be unleashed on this world like it's never been seen before. So God, help us to have a memory that's fresh with the consequences of Lot's wife looking back. And help us, Lord, to keep our eyes looking to the future and walking with our Savior and leading people to a place of redemption and salvation through faith in Christ. Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, may they realize, Lord, their heart is consumed with iniquity. And they need the purging of the Spirit of God through their heart, through faith in Christ. So bless us in this invitation. Lord, work your perfect will and way. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's